Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Pesachim Kuftes. We are four lines from the top of the Amid. We're going to look for ideas to keep the kids up during the Seder, because as we know, the children's involvement in the Seder procedure is a crucial element in the midst of Haggadah. Igad Tola Bincha, we're meant to pique their interest, to have them ask questions and engage them in dialogue and discussion regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how are we meant to keep them up? Says the Gemara four lines from the top, Tanya, Rav Elazar Omer, Choytven Matzos, or as the Bach says, Choytven Matzah. B'leilei Pesachim, we grab Matzah during the night of Pesach, B'shvil Tinoikos Shelo Yishnu, to prevent the tinoikos, the children, from falling asleep. The Rashbam gives us three pshatim to the term choytven matzis. He says, perhaps it means picking up magbin es ha-ka'ara. You lift the ka'ara with the matzis, which piques their interest. Well, what are you doing? We haven't yet had our meal. Why are you getting rid of the matzis? And this will arouse their interest to start asking questions and engage them, which will enable us to engage them in dialogue. Rosh Hashanah brings another pshat. Choytfin matzis means we hurry up, like chatav pasach, a quickly expressed chatav. Choytfin is in a hurry. We hurry up, we get to the meal quickly in order to keep the children up, to catch them before they get too tired. This will enable us the opportunity to engage them in conversation. Rashbam brings another pshat. Choytven matzis means, and this the Rashbam says is the main pshat li nira, he likes his pshat, we remove the matzah from the table, from the tinoikos, so that they're still pre-meal. We keep them a bit on edge. We keep them eager in anticipation for the upcoming meal, because when one eats, he tends to get a bit drowsy and tired, and we might lose their attention. That's why we keep it pre-meal. We get the matzah out of the way. We don't allow the children to engage in matzah, to engage in their meal. And this will ensure that they stay awake and they pay attention, ask their questions, and engage us in conversation. So we have three pshatim to Rav Elazar's statement, choytven matzos b'leil pesachim, and the point is all one and the same, b'shvil Tinoikos Shelo Yishno. Tanya, continues the Gemara, Amro Lov al Rabbi Akiva. The following was described regarding Rabbi Akiva. Miyam of all his days, Loi Amar, he would never say, Higia Eis, Lamoid Bebeis HaMedrash. Look, Rabbi Isai, it's time to get up and go home. No. You can learn as long as you want. He would never make that announcement, except for twice a year. Chutz Ma'ar Pesachim, Ve'erav Yom HaKippurim, except for Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Why? On Erev Pesach, he hurried the men home so that, as the Rashbam says, they can put the kids to sleep, have them take their afternoon nap, which will ensure their alertness for the Seder night. Taisus disagrees. He says, "V'loini hira." This doesn't seem to be the correct pshat. Da'atu lo yuchlu lisham b'lei aviyam. Do they need their father to put them asleep? Let the mother take care of them. Apparently the Rashbam learns, yeah, it takes two hands to get kids to bed, to nap in the afternoon. In any case, Tosfos agrees with the second pshat of the Rashbam, that Rabbi Akiva was simply getting them out of the Beis Medrash at night before it got too late. It seems that they would linger around generally on Yom Tov instead of learning a little bit. But this time was different. He hurried them home as soon as Yom Tov arrives. This way they can initiate the Seder and keep the children awake and interested. So that explains Erev Pesach, continues the Gemara. V'erev Yom HaKippurim, there as well he would send them home, Rabbi Akiva that is, he would send them home from Beis Medrash, k'dei she'achilu es b'neihem, so that they make sure that their children, their family, had their meal before Yom Kippur, the Suda Mafsekes, to ensure that they're fully prepared for the upcoming Danis. So generally, Rav Akiva would allow everybody to sit around Beis Medrash except for Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Take care of your family. Tanu Rabbanu. Chayiv Adam L'Sameach Bonov Ubnei Beisa Beregel. It's a chiv, it's a mitzvah for a person to be Masameach his family, his wife, his children, on Yom Tov Shenemar V'Samachto B'Chagecha. And the Tosfos actually brings a different pasuk, V'Samachto Ata U'Beisecha. And he actually asks, why is it that we don't bring the pasuk which describes Simcha by Yom Tov? Because that pasuk, V'Samachto Ata U'Beisecha, which Tosfos brings, is by Maser Sheni. Why don't we bring the pasuk by Yom Tov, which says V'Samachto Ata U'Beisecha, V'Samachto B'Chagecha Ata U'Beisecha? Tosfos says, because we specifically mention the pasuk by Maser due to the fact that it includes mention, explicit mention of one's wife, V'Samachto Ata U'Beisecha, and it seems that that's very important. The primary responsibility is to one's wife, that comes first, V'Samachto Ata U'Beisecha, to highlight that point. But actually, in our Gemara, we have the other pasuk which speaks directly about Simchas Yom Tov, V'Samachto B'Chagecha, Ata U'Beisecha. But as Tosfos says, we learn from the pasuk by Maaser that, of course, the wife is on the list and plays prominently on that list. So he's meant to be Masameach his family. Now, how is he going to be Masameach his family? The Gemara soon tells us that Bizman Beis HaMikdash, this simcha was primarily fulfilled through bringing the carbon shlamim. You would eat the basar shlamim, but nowadays we don't have that. It says the Gemara B'Amem Masamcham, how is he meant to Masameach his family? B'yayin, using wine. Rabbi Doimer, it depends. Depends what's appropriate for each class of people. Anoshim Beroy Lam, men, they enjoy wine, so yeah. Wine is Roy Lam is appropriate for them. V'Noshim Beroy Lam. But when it comes to Noshim, they don't necessarily have much benefit from wine, therefore the Simcha is meant to be accomplished using something else. As the Gemara explains, Anoshim Beroy Lam, what is Roy for a man? Bayayin, we give them wine. V'Noshim Bamai Hawim Misameach, the Noshim Tanur of Yosef, it depends where you live. V'Bavel B'Bigdei Tzivoinin. In Bavel, we buy them colorful dresses, Beretz Yisrael, Bigdei Pishtam, Megu Hatzin, Eretz Yisrael. We provide them with Bigdei Pishtam, flax, linen, clothing, Megu Hatzin, properly pressed, high quality clothing, L'Kaved Yontif. Tanya Bidibram Seir Oimer, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Simcha Al B'Basar, and some add the word Shlamim, Simcha will be fulfilled with Basar Shlamim. This way you have basar, and it's something that has immense spiritual value. It's a carbon. So you've incorporated your guf, your nefesh, in that simcha. It's a comprehensive happiness. Shenemar v'zavachta shlomim v'chalta sham v'samachta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. So optimally, simcha is accomplished through basar shlomim. V'achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kaim. But nowadays, we don't have a beis hamikdash. Ein simcha l'bayayin. Simcha is accomplished only through wine. Shenemar. V'yayin yisamach levav enosh, yayin provides simcha to a man. And as the Gemara before tells us, that of course it depends to who. Anoshim have wine as their source of simcha, but noshim, clothing, and of course when it comes to children, apparently it's going to be the kloyis ve'goizen that we mentioned yesterday. In fact, I believe it's a Gemara earlier in the Masechta, that when it comes to the ketanim, the simcha is accomplished by giving them the kleis, the goyis, and things, the sweets that make them happy. Interesting that the Shagas Arya, based on the Rambam, proves from this Gemara that even Bizman Aseh, we have a mitzvah Aseh of a Samachtum Chagecha. Meaning, not only during the Zman HaMikdash, when we had the opportunity to have the Basa Shlom as our source of simcha, was it a mitzvah Aseh to be Besimcha, but even Bizman Aseh, there still is a mitzvah same in our Torah to be besimcha, using these various materials as the Gemara describes. Continues the Gemara. Let's proceed to the shir of Revi'is. We learned yesterday that the Dalet Koseis need to contain a shir of Revi'is, which is the volume equal to a quarter of a luk, revisa luk. Now, how much is that? The Gemara will give us several formulas to figure it out. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kista. Kista was a measuring unit, a measuring cup. Dimurisa, which was used for murias, fish juice. So this measuring unit, the Hava B'Tzipori, which was used in the town of Tzipori, a city, he havas kimin luga de migdash. It contained the same amount, he havas, it was the same size as kimin luga de migdash, as the luga de Beis HaMikdash. Uba Mesharen Revishal Pesach. And therefore it can be easily used to measure the Revis Halug for Pesach, for the Dalat Koises. You take this Kista, the Marisa of Tzipori, which contains a lug, and you know a quarter of it is a Revis Halug. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, another method is as follows. Tamnaisa was a certain type of measuring unit called a Tuman. Tamnaisa Kadmaisa. This ancient, this old Tuman unit, measuring unit, the Hava B'Tveria, which was used in Tveria, Havas Yesera was actually bigger, contained more Alda than the current Tuman measuring unit in use today. So they actually lessened the size of this Tuman. So the old one was actually larger than today's. How much bigger was it? Riva. It was a quarter of a luga, bigger in size. Bamasharan Vishal Pesach, therefore can be easily used to be Meshire, to measure the Revias Haluk for Pesach. Why? You take the old, larger measurement, you fill it up, and you spill it into the currently used Tuman, which was a quarter of a luk smaller, and whatever is left in your larger Tuman is a Revias Halug. Amar Rav Chisda, I'll give you another method of figuring out what is considered a Revias Halug of liquid. He's going to give us a space configuration. And liquid that enters that space, a space of that size, is a Revias Halug. It's going to be based on the size of a mikvah. Amar Chis, Revias Shal Torah. How do we know what is considered a Revias when it comes to Dinei Torah? Now, when do we need a Revias for Din Torah? Kaish Shal Yayin for Kiddush, for Arba Kaisis, it's only the Rabbanon. Rashbam brings several examples where you have a Revias of liquid which is Torah mandated. For instance, a Nazir who drinks a revius of wine gets malchus. A revius of oil used for the rikike nozer, for the karbonis. Or a revius dam for tuma. How do we know what a revius is? Amar chizda, revius shal Torah etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim. Now the term etzba in our Gemara is in reference to the thumb finger. So if you have a space which has a size of etzba'ayim, two thumb widths, al etzba'ayim, by another two thumb widths. So 2x2. Birum etzba'ayim, how high is the space? Two etzba'is in height. V'chatzi etzba, another half of etzba. V'chaymish etzba, another fifth of a thumb. 2.7. So it's 2x2 in width and in length. And height is 2.2 etzba'is. You have such a cube, such a square, and the liquid that enters there is a Revias Halug. And this is going to be based on the size of the mikvah and the amount of liquid that we know fits into the mikvah. And by breaking down the mikvah size and the water content, it will result in this number, in this equation, that 2x2 by 2.7 contains a Revias Halug. Kedisanya, as we learned in the Brisa, the pasuk says, one who wears tamei, he's meant to go into a mikvah. How do we know in a mikvah? Maybe into a bathtub with mayim she'uvin, with drawn water. How do we know it's meant to be naturally gathered water? V'rachatz b'mayim es kol b'sari. That's the pasuk. We learn from here a couple of halachas. the fact that the pasuk says he's meant to rinse himself with water, but not just rinse himself. It's called besari, his flesh. Of course, if he's in a mikvah, then he's in there, his flesh as well. Why does the pasuk have to stress the word called besari? We learn from here that a chatzitza is unacceptable. Shlo yeh davar choytzeitz ben besari l'mayim. There can't be something forming a chatzitza barrier between the basar and the mayim. It needs to be direct contact. It's not enough that he enters the water, but there needs to be a direct connection, a direct contact between the basar and the mayim. That's what we learn from besari. Ba mayim. Why does the pasuk describe it as the known water instead of just bimayim, in water? Why ba mayim? The known waters. We learn from here it needs to be b'mei mikvah, a natural ingathering of water, as opposed to drawn water, mayim shuvim, as kol besari, from the word kol, as kol besari we learn, mayim shekol gufoy oilben. The mikvah needs to be large enough and contains enough water that the individual can enter with kol besari completely as one, not just his hand and then his foot, incrementally. It needs to be big enough to accommodate the entire person. Let's take a look at the Rashbam here. Four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Kedesani, v'rochatz ba'mayim is kol besoroi. Ba'mayim, we learn, b'mei mikvah. How do we see that from ba'mayim? Says Rashbam, mayim ha'miyuchadim. Very specific and known waters, unique waters. Shenikvu mitchila ma'atzva. They gathered naturally. You're going into a body of water, which you hadn't artificially created. It's there. It's its own entity. It's b'mayim. Unique waters. But the lakes of b'mayim. The fact is, the pasuk doesn't say go into water, any water, b'mayim. The motish uvim, this is coming to b'mayim to exclude water which was drawn and brought here, gathered manually. He's going to bring now and be tovel. No, that's unacceptable. It needs to be a naturally occurring mikvah. From kol besari we learn, but the lekas of besari, the fact that the pasuk doesn't say just besari, rather kol besari we learn, mashma shekol gufoy oilman. The water needs to be large enough, big enough to accommodate the entire person. She'ena nira, that there's nothing protruding from the water. Elakule mechusban, rather is completely covered and enveloped by that water. V'kamahin, continues the Gemara. Okay, how much water? How big is the mikvah and how much water? V'kamahin. Amal amma. The actual containment needs to be an amma by an amma. An amma long by an amma wide. Barum sholish amois. Three amois in height. How do we get to that? Taisus explains, Chacham estimated that a person's size is an amma wide. His width is an amma. And we also give you an amma for the other direction, because the mid portion of a person can be an amma in size. So we give an amma by an amma wide, but an amma long, it's a square amma. Now as far as height, we determine it to be three ammas. Tosis explains that although the koyim of a person is three ammas without his head, it's enough to have the mikvah be three amas in height. And he says that the actual containment, the kli, the area, is more than three amas in height. The water needs to only be three amas high, but the actual mikvah is more, is higher than three amas. Maybe four amas. In which case, when a person enters, the water rises and will cover his head, which is higher, which protrudes beyond three amas. So that's why it's enough to have an amma by an amma, three ammas high. When he enters that mikvah, the water rises and covers his head as well. So that's as far as the containment area, the actual size of the mikvah. How much water is going to be in that mikvah? V'shiru chacham estimated, shir mei mikvah arba'am sa. You need to have 40 sa to fill that containment, that hole of an amma by an amma, which is three ammas in height. Now we'll have to use perhaps a bit of Emunas Chachamim here. The Rashbam, Rashi, Tosfos go into lengthy descriptions and how to achieve the desired results. How do we derive from this equation the fact that an Amma by an Amma with three Ammas high will contain 40 Saw? That leads us to the conclusion that 2 by 2 Etzbois with 2.7 in height will contain a Revius Halug. According to some, it involves some geometry here, as you see in the diagrams in the Tosfos. Perhaps it's beyond the scope of our discussion here. Let's employ a little bit Emunas Chachamim. That's the way it works. If you have the mikvah, which is 1 by 1 Amma, 3 Ammas in height, and contains 40 Saw, if you break it down to slivers, you will have the resulting formula that a small cube, a small space, which is merely 2 etzbois by 2 etzbois and 2.7 in height, it will contain the measurement of a revius halug of liquid. And indeed, Rav Chisda tells us, if you want to know what is a revius, just see how much liquid fits into that small area of 2 by 2 by 2.7, and that's going to be a revius halug. Interesting that the Rashbam explains to us why is a shuven disqualified? Why does it have to be a natural gathering of water? And he says, because the pasuk refers to it as Bamayim, the known water. We know that a mikvah has to be something which is called ashbir. It has to be still, standing in one place. But if it's moving, if it's flowing, a flowing mikvah is not kosher for tefillah. Now, based on this Rashbam, and also Rashi and Shabbos that goes into it, and explains that it's not the water that you're going into. If it's on the move, then you're not entering the domain of that mayim. Yeah, you're getting wet, you're rinsing yourself, but it's not ba mayim. Ba mayim means you're going into this entity, into this naturally occurring pool. You're entering the makom of mayim. And that explains the halacha, why moving waters, a moving mikvah, a mikvah in transit, is not considered b'mayim. Therefore, it's possible for tvila, as opposed to a mayon, a spring, a moving river, where Rashi and Shabbos says, that's the naturally occurring state of a river, of a spring. Yeah, it's moving. And it appears that the pshat is because that's its place. Where is the spring? Where is the river? It's all over. As it flows, that's its makom. So wherever one enters, he's actually entering the domain of that river, of that spring. And that's why when it comes to a mayin, it is also matar b'zoichlan, even when it's moving along and flowing. So there's a fundamental difference between the tefillah and a mikvah, where you're actually entering the domain of the mikvah. Therefore, it has to be stationary in place. In fact, I once saw, now, the Chachamim estimated that the share of mikvah is 40 saw. So they say that the 40 saw of a mikvah corresponds to the 40 days of Yitziras Havlat, 40 days that it takes for the first stage of development of a fetus. The point of going into the mikvah is to recreate a person. A person's tummy, he goes into the mikvah, he's entering the domain of a bar mitzvah, which is beyond the present, beyond the physical world, so to speak. He's entering a new realm of spirituality, of ruchnis, and it cleanses him. It's matarim. That's why it needs to be 40 saw to revamp the person, recreate the person. So the 40 corresponds to the 40 days of creation. So you see this concept, entering a mikvah is entering a new realm, a new domain, and it has to be in a stationary mikvah, in which case you're entering the domain of that mikvah. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar li Ravin Bar Chinana. Ravin Bar Chinana made the following observation. Shulchan shel Migdash shel Prakim Hava. The Shulchan used in the Beis HaMikdash, which contained the Lachem Apanim, must have been made of Prakim, of parts, and could have been dismantled. Rav Brahma tells us that actually was Mekabotum. Why was it Mekabotum? Because they would lift it to display it to the other regal and show them how precious, how dear Klal Yisrael is to Hashem. Look how fresh the Lechem Apanim is. Even after 9 days, it was still warm and fresh. We see from here, I once heard this pshat from Rabbi Elsky Shlita, we see from here that Hashem's hashpa is constant. Hashem wants that constant relationship with us. He keeps the bread warm and fresh and channels his constant daily hashpa through that bread, gives us parnasa. He wants that constant connection with us. And that's the chavivus of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. And that's why we displayed it to the regal. The fact that we moved around the shulchan, that gave it the status of an ordinary kli and enabled it to be mekabel tuma. They had to be toivlet in case it got tummy. Says the Gemara, apparently it was made of parts and could have been dismantled. Why? The salka daitach. So again, shulchan shol migdash shol prokem hav. Apparently the shulchan bes migdash was made of parts. The salka daitach hiduki have mahadik. Because if you maintain that it was one unit, it could not have been dismantled. How would they be toivlet? We know that there was a mikvah in the Azara, and we assume the dimensions of that mikvah corresponded to the dimensions that we mentioned earlier. It was merely an amma by an amma. Now, the shulchan was, although just an amma wide, but it was actually two ammas long. How would they get the shulchan into the mikvah, which was an amma by an amma? Amsa ba'amsa, the shulchan which was an amma bi'amsa, and the mikvah which was an amma wide, heichem matpilei, how would they be matpil that shulchan? An amma can't fit into another amma. Now, so this points out, fine, let's say an amma can fit into an amma. The Gemara is posing the question, well, how can an amma fit into an amma? Let's say that wouldn't be a problem. An amma can't fit into an amma. I actually saw a tshuva from Moshe, Igris Moshe. Somebody asked him that we know the kelim in the Beis Hamikdash were built using a relatively smaller amma measuring yard, with two methods of measuring an amma. Soichkois, in which case you used fingers which were loosely aligned, which will result in a larger amma, and oitzvois, which literally means sad, but it means constricted, tightly fisted. Amois, tightly fisted tfachim, which formed smaller amois, and that was used for the kelim. So somebody asked Rav Moshe, well, what's the Gemara's kasha? How did the shulchan fit in? The amma of the shulchan was smaller than the amma employed in the dimensions of that mikvah, which is part of the building, which used larger size amois. And the I don't recall at the moment, but he goes into a whole long tshuva to address this kasha. In any case, that's how the Gemara presents the problem. How are we going to have the amma of the shulchan fit into the amma of the mikvah? Says Tosfos, forget about that consideration. Suppose an amma can fit into an amma, okay? But we have the legs, which are way longer. The legs are an amma and a half long. Meaning, even if you take the shulchan, suppose a shulchan, right, an amma wide, two ammas long, but you have the legs, which are protruding. Say you can fit the amma of the shulchan into the amma of the mikvah, but what are the legs, which are an amma and a half long, and don't fit into the mikvah, which is merely an amma by an amma? So why is it the Gemara presenting it as the amma and the amma? What about the legs, which are definitely longer than an amma? There's proofs from here that certainly the legs were removable, and that wasn't the Gemara's kash. We knew that the legs were removable, and therefore that wouldn't pose a problem. It was the actual shulchan itself which creates a concern, because an amma cannot fit into an amma. Okay, so that was the shaila. Amsa ba'amsa, heichi matpilei, how would he be matpil the shulchan? Says the Gemara, Maikushi, what's the problem? Who says they used the small-sized mikvah? Dilma b'yam shasa shloima ave matpilei. We know, the Gemara tells us, back in back in Erevin, based on the Pesukim and Melachim, that Shlomo HaMelech built a pool. Like today they have the ornamental pools in front of buildings, in front of landmarks. Shlomo HaMelech created a yam, a pool, an artificial pool in the Azor, in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was a very large-sized pool, which would certainly accommodate the shulchan. It was 30 amas wide, and in that yam, they would be matvil the shulchan. Dimo biyam shasa shloima v'matpale. The Tanya of Chia, yam shasa shloimai, machzik mei v'chamish mikotara. This yam, this pool, was so large in size that the volume of water in that yam was sufficient for 150 mikvahs. That's how big it was, and certainly can accommodate the shulchan. Tosfos asks, how can it be tovel in the yam shasa shloimai? It was Maim Shuvan. It was drawn water. Tosfos says, apparently, there was some sort of drainage system. There was a hole. It was Nakov. And it was connected to a stream, to a spring. In which case, the content of that yam, Shasa Shloimai, had a din of a mikvah. And therefore, can be used for tefillah. Let's take a look at the Rashbam here. 9 lines from the bottom. It says, Rashbam, Shulchan Shel Migdash. That was the kasha of the Gemara. What about the Shulchan of Beis HaMikdash? Shulchan Shel Zohav, Shasa Moshe. Ksiv Bei Amasayim Arkei, it's 2 amas long, V'ama Arach Bei, Amas wide, V'ama V'chetzik HaMasai, 1.5 amas in height. The Gemara proves, Shal Prakim Hav, apparently, it can be dismantled. Shechoyim Lefarek Reich V'Lishnayim, it can be split along its width, V'chein Ragla Shulchan, oh, and the legs as well, Einan Mechuborin Yafe, V'choyim Lefarkon, they're loosely connected and can be detached. Because if they're tightly fastened, and it cannot be dismantled, how can it be toivled? Since it was an amma wide, how can it be toivled? The mikvah hayisham ba'azara. We know there was a mikvah in Azara. Inami. So either that mikvah, which was an amma by an amma, inami. Alternatively, they would be toveled by Amas HaMayim Shabazor in that stream called the Amas HaMayim Shabamat Bilin Klei Sharash Nitmu, which was used for a mikvah for the Klei Sharash V'hoyser Chava Amma, and it was an Amma wide. V'al Shem Kach Nikras Amma, that's exactly why it was called an Amma, because of its width. Because it's not Elo Elo Masarvan Ba'amma, the Gemara is speaking about the dam over there, which was sent into this drainage system to the Amma, and it's called an Amma because it was an Amma wide. V'loshin Rishon Loshin Rabbeinu Yaakov V'damar Rav Ashi L'milsei Gam Mikvah. Rav Ashi likes the first pshat that we're referring to the Amma of the Kli, which was an Amma by an Amma. Why? Because Rav Ashi presents this discussion in close proximity to the previous discussion in the Gemara, which described a Mikvah, which was an Amma by an Amma. Apparently, it's in relation to a Mikvah and not to the stream in the Azara. Ketiz Rashbam, when do they have a need to be tovel the shulchan? How shulchan mekabel tuma? K'damrim b'chemer hakadosh. Amar Rish Lakish. My dechsev shulchan hatar. The Torah describes in Vayikra the shulchan as being shulchan hatar. Mechalal shul tamei. Apparently, it has the potential to become tamei. And indeed, when it became tamei, how would they tovel it? The Gemara responds by saying, no, maybe they used the yam shas shleme, which was machzik mevach mishmi katar. Meseches Evan Mefarsh Minolan. The Gemara there explains how exactly we arrived at the shear of 150 mikvahs for this yam shasa shlamen. Okay, so in conclusion, we learned about Simchas Yamtev, which during the Beis HaMikdash times it was fulfilled and accomplished to the Simcha of the Basar Shlamen. Nowadays you need wine, you need clothing, sweets for the kids. We proceeded with the shear of Revius. The Gemara gave us 3 ways to be Meshayer Shir Revius, and the last and final one by breaking down the mikvah into sliverines, which gives us the formula of 2x2 etzbois by 2.7, which contains Shir Revius Halug. And the Gemara concluded regarding the Shulchan and the Migdash, which was titled in the Yam Shasa Shleimai. Continues the Gemara Belayiv Chasleimai Arba Koises, even a poor man cannot be given less than 4 Koises. He's meant to drink Arba Koises during the Seder. Now the Gemara will embark on a discussion regarding the concept of zugos, pairs. 2, 4, 6, 8. That's described in our Gemara as zugos. Now what's the point of zugos? Zugos poses a concern. The Gemara later will tell us this primarily was prevalent and applicable in the older times when the spiritual standing amongst Klal Yisrael and throughout the world was much higher than it is today. And we know Zelu Mazeh. Asa Lakim, Hashem created a corresponding force to the force of Kedusha. This Koyachat Tuma, which opposes and corresponds to Koyachat Kedusha. Now, as the Marshal explains, we know that on the second day of Bria Sa'olam, there's no mentioning of the term Ki Toiv. And he says it's because Gehenna was created on that day. Number two denotes competition and a certain element of so-called equality between the Koyches HaToiv, the good positive forces within this world, and the Koyches HaRa, the Koyches HaTuma, which seek to challenge the Koyches HaToiv and give us that opportunity for Bechira, for Nisyonis, so that we choose the Toiv. And as Ramchal explains, Rav Chaim Lotzato, that's the point of Bria Sa'olam and Bria Sa'adam, to give us the opportunity to choose to prefer Toiv over Ra, Kedusha over Tuma, etc. So as Masho explains, that's the point of Zugos, pairs. The paired numbers, 2, which is the primary source number for the concept of Zugos, and subsequently all numbers which have an equal amount, 4, 6, 8, 10, contain this element of Zugos. And there seems to be a concern when one engages in practice which identifies and relates to Zugos. He has 2 drinks. He has 2 dishes of some food. It's double. It's 2, it's 4, it's 6, it's 8. That avails him in some degree to the Koyach HaSara, makes him susceptible and open to influence of the Koyach HaSara in the world. And he's meant to be careful not to give them the opportunity to pounce on him. So that's the upcoming Gemara. Zugos is discouraged, but the Gemara later will tell us that as the generations proceeded and there was a spiritual degeneration, likewise it had a weakening effect on the Koyach HaSara around the world, and we're not really so concerned with that. With the Zugos, with the Shedim and the Mazikim and the Kishuf, which used to be very empowered through this concept of Zugos. Says the Gemara of Aleph Chosloim Arba Koises, at a minimum, even an Ani must have 4 Koises of wine. Says the Gemara, Eichim Masaki Rabbanon, how would the Rabbanon establish a din, a halacha, which is Zugos? It's 4. Eichim Masaki Rabbanon Midi, the Asili Bolides Hakana. How could the Chacham establish a takana, a din, 4 Koises, which is something midi the asibah de sakana, something which can result in sakana, in personal danger and hazard. Vatanya lo yechel adam terei, a person should not drink 2 cups of wine, 2 drinks. Lo yechel adam terei, should not eat double. Vlo yishte terei, nor you should drink double. Vlo yikaneach terei, or wipe himself twice in the Beis HaKisa, v'l'yaseh trochah trei, and engage in double tashmish, because that is the concept of Zugos, which can make him susceptible to the shedim, to mazikim in the world. So why is it that the Chachamim masakin in 4 Koises, which is Zugos? It's an even number. Then we'll give us 3 tirutz. Av Rachman, Amakro, Leil Shimurim. Torah describes the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim as Leil Shimurim, a night where Klal Yisrael is safe and secure. Leil HaMeshumu Ruba Min HaMazikim. It's a night that Hashem exhibits a special Shmira, and Klal Yisrael was safe from all the Mazikim, all dangers, physical as well as spiritual. If there's no concern about drinking 4 cases of wine on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rava Amar, Kois Shal Bracha, Mitztaraf L'Toiva, Veinam Mitztaraf L'Ro. He says like this. The 3 Koises of Yain, Pesach at night, are as follows. The first Kois is Kiddush, the second one is by the Haggadah, the third one is Kois Shal Bracha, a Brechas HaMazon. Says Rava, the third Kois, Kois Shal Bracha, a Brechas HaMazon, can only do good. It can't do bad. It is only mitzaraf l'toiva. Suppose one already drank he had two drinks during his meal, and he had that additional kosher bracha at the end of the meal, it's number three. It's going to change the equation from two to three, turn it from an even to an odd, which makes him safe and sound from the mazik. Kosher bracha can only come to add benefit, but it can't detract, it can't be mitzarf l'ruah, such as in the case of the dalat kosis. If you factor in the kosher bracha into the total amount, we'll have four. No, it won't have that detrimental effect. Kosher bracha, it's inherently good. It only has a positive effect, not a negative effect. Kosher bracha mitzarf l'toiva, v'ena mitzarf l'ruah. In which case, even though he actually drank four kosis at night, but being that one of them was the kosher bracha, it is not reckoned as part of the equation, and it's as though he only drank three, in which case he's protected from the evil forces. Ravina Amar, he says another terrace, Arbo kasi tikkun rabbanan derachirus. The Chachamim were masakin that one should drink four kosis in a show of freedom, of independence, of royalty. Kol chad v'chad mitzvah ba'pi nafshu. Each one being an independent entity. Each one being a separate mitzvah. And therefore, they're not mitzvah of one to the other. It's not as though he drank four. He did one. Then another one. Then another one. Each one is a separate entity and unconnected to the other. Interesting that the Rif says, based on this Gemara, we say a separate bracha of Hagafen on each kois, because each one is a separate mitzvah. Generally, one Hagafen suffices for all drinks throughout the meal, but since over here each kois is a separate independent entity, it requires a special bracha Hagafen, each one individually. The Rashash adds a chiddush. He says, based on this Gemara, suppose a person only has enough wine supply for three kois, or for two. Shall we say, well, just like a tzitzis, it's either all or nothing. Either you have four tzitzis, or it's nothing, it's one mitzvah. And therefore, he should not engage at all. Or shall we say, well, each one is a separate mitzvah, whatever you can do, grab. Says Rashash, yes. The Gemara tells us, each one is a separate mitzvah. If he has one, he has two, he has three, he should drink them, and mekayim at least that part of the mitzvah. So the kasha was, hakel chacham b'masakin etakana, which involves an equal number, you have three terutzim, leil shimurim, the kosher bracha is not mitzvah, so only have really three, or it's really four individual separate mitzvahs. Continues the Gemara, leyas etzroch of tzrei, the Gemara before, gives us examples of zugais, a person should not eat two, drink two, or engage in double tashmish. Says the Gemara, Mai, what's the concern there? Nimlachu. Let's see the Rashbam here. If we drop down to the Rashbam, okay, the first line was mitzvah on penafshi, that explained the four kosis, ve'im mitzaref mezelezeh, since they're all separate in mitzvahs, they're not mitzaref. And then the Gemara described the lo yaseh tzroch of tzrei, double tashmish, what's the concern? He's nimlach. Explains the Rashbam, nimlachu. The tashmish rishon gomer bi'asoy. U'batal tavasoy. Once he's done the first tashmish, it's done and over with. Experience is finished. And even if he chooses to proceed with another one, that's not what he had in mind initially. It's a separate experience. It doesn't connect and relate to the first one. It's not considered a pair. So why is that concern? Amar Abaye continues the Gemara. Amar Abaye hachi kamar. You're right, that's not a concern. Rather, the Braisa meant as follows. Lo yoichal trei. A person should not have a double achila. Two pieces of kugel. V'yisha trei, or double drink. And when he's in that state, suppose he did have a double drink, and now he was engaged in zugais, he's now susceptible to the influence of the shadim. Now he should be careful. He shouldn't even engage in one time tashmish, because the tashmish experience can weaken a person. Perhaps he'll get weak. And the fact that he's physically weak, it may avail him to the influence of the mazikim. The fact that he had previously engaged in zugos, he had a double achila, double shtia, they're waiting to pounce on him, and now, when he engages in relations which weakens the person physically, the mazikim pounce upon him and can harm him and can mazik him on account of the zugos that he ate previously. But the double tashmish on its own does not pose a concern. Okay, time for a brief chazar. We began with the Tinoikis. which we're trying to keep alert and awake during the Leila Pesach, to engage them in conversation and discussion. Gemara gives us several methods. Chaytun matzos. Rashbam gives us three pshatim. You pick up the matzah to create that interest in the procedure. What's going on? Why lifting the matzah? And they'll begin asking questions. Or we hurry up to the meal to keep them awake, lest they fall asleep. Or we keep them from eating. This will keep them on edge and in anticipation for the meal, and they say the procedure. We learned that Rav Akiva would send home the fathers from Beis Medrash to make sure that the kids remain awake for the Seder and also are properly fed for Yom Kippur. We learned about Simchas Yonta, which is a mitzvah that's asem and deraisa, that's a mech, one's wife and one's family. Bizman Hazeh, we use methods which are appropriate per segment of population, meaning yayin for men, clothing for women, and sweets for children. We learned about the shir revias and how to arrive at the measurement of revias. We learned about the mikvah and the Beis HaMikdash, and concluded that there's no concern about zugas when it comes to dal koses, lal shimurim, kosher brachas not mitzarf to the total number, or each one of the dal koses considered a separate independent entity, in which case is no concern of an equal number. Much hatzlacha and be well.